Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Nazir, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Chof Dalet, we're holding the Halakha Mishnah. So we've been talking about the dinim of Hafora and at what point the Hafora is Chal. And one of the interesting issues is, what is the impact of the Hafora on the korbanas that the Isha was Mechuyevah? Now, we've already discussed this Mishnah before in that context. And today we want to look at the Mishnah. Finally, we got to the Mishnah and discuss what exactly is the relationship between the husband and the wife in terms of the chiyuv of the havos or karbonos. Because remember that we learned about the distinction between where a woman was mafrisha karbonot for her naziros from her own money, or where she was mafrish from her husband's money, and the difference as to whether the karbon chatas would become chulin in the event that the husband had been made for. So let's take a look at the mokar of a mishnah that we've seen before and discussed at some detail. So she, without it being involved with her husband, she goes ahead, she makes this naziras, and she already set aside the behemoths that were necessary for her naziras. And then when her husband hears about it, he's made for. So now, what happens at this point? Now, this was one of the issues that we had brought up about the question of whether the hafara was mi'akaraka, and therefore should take away the chiyuv, or whether it was actually only migezgayas, and therefore there, at the time, there was a chiyuv. When we discussed the question of the different approaches to what the dinim would be of her korbanas in both circumstances. And remember, we were aimed on the difference between, even if a baal is mi'akar akar, the difference between the chalos of her words being meaningful and so on. But now we don't want to look at those issues, which we've gone through at great length. We want to talk about, in the sugya, the focus on the question of who owned the animals that she was mafrisha. So im shelo hayta behima teitze v'tira ba'eder. So if he owned it, so then when he goes and is made for her neder, so then it turns out that it was never hers. It didn't belong to her. And if it didn't belong to her, then we don't have to get into the question of whether the neder was a neder toast or the hegdish was a hegdish toast and all of the questions that we talked about before. It's simply that he never gave her the animals where he was going to be made for. And therefore, they were never chal. The whole thing was not hers, and a person can't give away something to Hegdish that doesn't belong to them. So since in the end he was made for the Naziris, which means no matter how you learn, even if it's Megis Gaius, there's no din of bringing Karbonis at this point, because this point forward is no longer included in the dinim of the Naziris. So because of that, they are simply normal chulin animals, and we don't have to worry about any of the dinim of Hegdesh and Me'ila and so on and so forth. But how about if she owned this animal? All right, so we're going to be talking about a case where there's different ways where she could own it. The simplest case is somebody gives her the animal, amanacha in labala reshutpa. Remember that we had a lot of discussion about the machlokas as to whether he has to specify the usage that he's giving it to her for, or he could say for any tzorech that you have. Again, that goes beyond the issues that we need to talk about here. And whatever the case is, that she actually owned the behemah, so then we've got a problem, because we have three animals that are kodesh, and we can't simply remove the kedusha. So we have a chatas, and we have an eila, and we have a shlomim. We're talking about a nazir tahar. So what happens then? Well, a chatat becomes a chatat hameita, as we discussed earlier. Since she had been mafrisha and then ended up not requiring any kapora, so it has the same din as a baal of a chatas who was mischaper with another carbon. And therefore the chatas is left to die on its own. An eila can be brought as an adava, and a shlamim can also be brought as an adava. However, if this shlamim is brought as an adava, it does not have the din of the standard shlamim, because there are two different dinim when it comes to shlamim. The Torah divided the dinim of shlamim into shlamim that are ne'echalim l'yom echad, and shlamim that are ne'echalim l'shnei yamim v'layla b'nehim. So a standard shlamim is ne'echal l'yom echad. However, a korban teda, which is a variation on the theme of shlamim, a korban teda is eaten only for one day, as if it would have been kodshei kodshim, even though it's not, of course. And the same din is true of the el nazir. The el nazir is that the din over there is also, it has the same zman of the achila that the korban teda has. Now, the question, of course, is that there are a lot of other issues that are nogea, the difference between an el nazir and a normal shlomim, obviously. I mean, look, the el nazir, remember, has all of those halachas where you're supposed to, you have to give the zreya, and the idea over there is to put the hair underneath, and you give the kohen dafka the zroa b'sheila of the aisle, and when you give it to him, it's not just a gift; it has a din of actual matnas kahuna, and nobody else is allowed to eat it, and that's a special din that only applies over there. Not only that, but we also have, of course, the special halacha of the ten types of lechem of the matzah, and the 10 types of the lechem of the moshuach b'shemen, and the one that's taken out of each one out of those 10, one out of that 10, both of them are put on top of the kapot of the nazir, and then the kohen waves the kapot of the nazir with those two lechems, with the zroa b'sheila of the el nazir, and together with the emurim that needed to be put on the mizbeach, and he waves it. It does a whole mice of two, and this is like a major kind of special aveda that's done with the el nazir, and therefore it should have a lot of other differences besides the difference of how long you're allowed to eat it. Now, what it says over here is that it's ne'echolim le'yom echad, but there's no halacha of the lechem at all. Because since the Torah said that the din of the lechem is that it's supposed to go in the kapot of the nazir, and there are no kapot of the nazir over here at all, and there is no tenufa, so it doesn't really make sense that you should bring any kind of lechem. What would we do with that lechem? So it's very interesting that not all of the Rishonim take this Kipshutai. There is a Shita of the Balei Tosfos, which the Rosh brings, and according to that, when it says there's no Lechem, it doesn't mean that we don't bring the Lechem with it, like just like a Teda requires Lechem, not of the same type, but it just means that there's no Din of Tnufa with the Dinim that it would normally be applied to the Zerah B'Sheila of the aisle, and so on and so forth. That's what it means according to one of the Shitas of the Tosfos. And the question over there is, what would that imply about the din of the Zerah B'Sheila? Do we give the standard Chazav Ashok to the Kohanim, which of course is not not a feature of the El Nazir, that's a feature of any Shlomim. And it's also Mutter. I mean, it's a gift, but it's not that it's usher for anybody else. Over here, this Rosh Hashanah is actually usher to anybody except for the Kohen. So do any of those halachas apply? That seems to be part of the Shita of the Tosfos, that the other halachas apply, and that the only thing that we're talking about over here that is different is specifically the halacha of the Zman of the Achila. The Zman of the Achila being for one day and the following night. So that is a rather fascinating issue. I mean, why would there be a specific difference in those issues? The Lashon of the Rambam is ve'einam tu'unim lechem, ve'lo matanot, ve'lo zroa, so that they're ne'echolim le'om echad, and that all of those other halachas are interrelated to the specific dinim of the Zman of the Achila as well, and then all of the dinim of the El Nazir are interrelated. If we're not calling it an El Nazir, and we're just giving it the halacha specifically of a shlamim, so then the Enochinami, it's a shlamim that would have all of the dinim of a standard shlamim, except for the Zman of the Achila. And why would the Zman of the Achila be different? Because the Zman of the Achila is learned out from a completely different sugya. We learn that out from Medik in the Pasuk, that there are some shlomim that are necholim lishne yomim, and some shlomim that are necholim liyom. And we're medayik that from the word shlamav? Minayin Rabbi Shalmei Nazir, the Gemara asks. Talmud Lomar shlamav, which is zevach todat shlamav. So we're marbe shlamav with the toda. So that means that there's a different type of shlamim, but that has nothing to do with the overall set of halachas that are applied in the context of the dinim of the zeros. Why would we give it any of the dinim of the zeros? This is basically the way that the Ohr Sameach explains the sheet of the Rambam, and that it's very obvious why there would be a difference. It's a brilliant explanation. It goes directly to the Mokra in the Gemara, that the dinim of the Zman of the Achila are unrelated to Hilchas Naziris. Because of that, once I'm going to be offering it as a type of Shlomim that was set aside with these dinim of Achila in terms of the Zman of Achila, which we learn out from Zevach Torat Shlomav. So we're comparing a Shlomim that was set aside for El Nazir to a standard Teda. Mashenkin, all of these other halachas are very reasonable. The Rambam's Psak, they are specific to a Nazir and Niziran. Over here, Niziran is not bringing it. And therefore, it doesn't have any of those dinims. So even though we only talk about Enotu'uni Lechem, it would mean Enotu'unim Lechem, Ve'enotu'uni Tnufa, Ve'enotu'unim El Nazir, and I'm sorry, Ve'enotu'uni Zerah B'Sheila, and there's no Matana that is given to the Kohen that's based on this, and all other ways it has a standard din of a Shlomi. Okay, I think that's a very reasonable approach, and we love doing it according to the Rambam anyway, so let's learn it that way. Now, it's also possible that she did not set aside an actual korban, but set aside money. So what would be the din of the cash that is set aside? And you'll recall that there's two different ways that you could set aside the dinim, the money for the dinim of the korban is nazir. You could set aside a certain amount of money and say, this money is for my chatas, and this is for my oila, and this is for my shlamim. Or you could take a pile of money and say, this money is set aside for purposes of my naziras. If you're talking about just setting aside a pile of money, that's called ma'ot stumim, that have not been defined what goes for what. If you're talking about specification, then that is called meforashim. So now the Mishnah is going to talk about those two types of monies. Hayula ma'ot setumim. So let's say that she had set aside just money without specifying for which karbanas, just towards the naziras. So then all of that money can fall, is yiplu linadova. The halacha is that when you have basically meiser ma'os that are not defined, they fall to kayetz hamizbeach. Remember, we had all of these halachas in great detail. We talked about it in Shkolim, and we've spoken about it many times in a lot of contexts. There's a special, remember the special pushka, the shofar it was called, that was set aside for the nidvos tzibur. The concept of a nidvos tzibur, there's no real such thing as a nidvos tzibur. Qua nidvos tzibur, it's called really kayetz hamizbeach. The kayetz hamizbeach are oilos that are provided by the tzibur as a gift to the mizbeach, as a kayetz. A kayetz is the word for dessert. That's sort of like kompot, you know. The idea of a dessert to the mizbeach, where the mizbeach doesn't have what to eat and has already been fed, so to speak, the full korbanas of the yom, of the chiyuvim, and also anybody's endorim and adavas of that day. So instead of allowing the mizbeach to sit there, bottle, we bring korbanos of kayetz mizbeach. That money towards the kayetz mizbeach is the money that is taken from the shofar, which is exactly where this would fall. And therefore, if you have ma'otz tumim, you put that money in the kayetz hamizbeach, which are called nidvos tzibur. But what if she had ma'ot before rashim? So now, the part that was set aside for a chatas has the same din as the chatas animal. Chatas animal, as we saw before, is a chatat hameta. So therefore, if this was money that she had a right, it was her money, it was given to her, amanacha in lebalach reshutba, so that it has to be put, thrown into the Yam HaMelech, so to speak. In other words, it cannot be used for anything else. It's considered to be also brown. No, the same chatas hamesa, and lo ne'anim, you're not allowed to use it. There's no din of me'ila on it, because a carbon that is useless, of course, doesn't have a din of me'ila. And what about the money that she had set aside for the oila? Oh, so that is brought as an oila, but not as a public oila. So it's not the same as the kayetz hamizbeach, which is nidvas tzibur. Over there, they basically use it for her own oila, because she had set aside money for an oila. So fine, so bring it as an eila, and of course, money that's set aside for an eila is chayev on me'ila. If somebody uses it for other tzrochim that are not hegdesh, they have to bring a korban me'ila. To make shlamim, now the idea of the shlamim, remember, is that the shlamim is only considered to be miuchadim la'Hashem, which is where me'ila kicks in, only on a korban la'Hashem, and the shlamim is not only la'Hashem. So basically, the shlamim is not always in all of its state going to be chayev in shlamim, because the dinim me'ila are only chal on a shlamim once you do the zrika. So once you do the zrika, then the emurim of a shlamim are considered to be miuchadim l'shem, and then he would be over on me'ila. But the Mishnah is not going to give us all of the different dinim over here of the dinim of the shlamim, so we ignore that because there's too much information there that we're not particularly interested in there. So the domain shlamim we bring as a shlamim. And again, the shlomim that we bring with this money that had been miyuchad for the shlomim that has the special din of an el nazir, zevach shlomav, which we learn from the pasuk means that it's eaten toda zevach shlomav, is eaten the same way that a korban teda is eaten, and therefore the particular shlomim that you bring with this are eaten differently than normal shlomim, and they're treated as if, in terms of the zman achila, as if they were a korban teda. They're eaten only for that day, the remainder of the day and the night following. And ein tu'unim lechem, where the same discussion that we just had, legabe the actual behema, would also obtain. Now, the question that we seem to be saying over here, that there's a difference between animals that the Baal owns and animals that the wife owns. What exactly does that mean, that the Baal owns? Does that mean that because he owns them, so he would have to volunteer to bring them, and in that case, she has no right, b'chlal, to touch any of his animals. That would mean that she doesn't get any rights, ipso facto, out of her ksuva or any other understanding between them, that she could just walk into his field, into his eder, and take karbonas because she has the right to use his karbonas. Which means that the Tana apparently, making that distinction between animals owned by the husband and animals that she owns, holds that a Baal is not mechuyev, and therefore she does not have a she'ibud on his animals. He's not mechuyev to provide her behemoths for karbonas. And who would that be? Amar Rav Chisda, well, it's a major machlokas, as we're going to see, between the Rabbanan and Rav Yehuda. And it would mean that our mission is going according to the Shita of the Rabbanan that we're about to discuss. Because if you're going to tell me that the Mishnah is going on Libet Rav Yehuda, then how would we make this distinction between the behemoths that the Baal had, if according to Rav Yehuda, a Baal is mishu'ubah to a woman to provide her with korbanos that she needs, and therefore if she goes into his flock and takes out the animals that she has a shibud on him, means that they're basically mortgaged to her. She has a lien on them. She go in them. So then what's the difference between animals that are hers and animals that are his? We're going to see that this is the big machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda. So then if, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's mishabed himself to provide her with any karbonis that she requires, then why would there be this punitive distinction? In reality, what she took from him were really hers. And therefore, if she set them aside, so then it would have the same halacha as having taken money of her own and setting it aside. Let me explain to you now where this machlokas is. Let's take a look at the braisa, the Tanya. Reb Yehuda Omer, Adam mevi korban ashir al ishto. Now, there's lots of korbanas that are dependent on how much money you have, right? So we've got the korbanos of a yored, and we've got the dinim of a keves versus an oaf for the yoledes. We've got the halachas of a mitzera. That there's plenty of places where what it is that you bring is defined by your finances. So in a case where a woman is bringing a korban, so Reb Yehuda says, well, by definition, since the responsibility for that korban is on the husband, then it is defined by the husband's status. If the husband has money, so then he brings a korban asher. He can't say, well, I'm just paying for my wife's korban, as my wife doesn't have any money of her own, so I'll just provide her with the lowest cost carbon. You can't say that. And therefore, you see it according to Rabbi Yehuda, just as he explains that you bring a carbon asher, he's explaining that v'chein kol korbanotea shehi chayevet. He also is b'chuyev, not only defining the amount that has to be brought, but he actually has to supply any carbon that she is chayevet to bring. Now, chayevet to bring does not include the korbanot of a nedava that she sets aside. But that is not that there's innately this difference. It's because even though he is mitchayev to bring her korbanos, we cannot put him into a position in which if his wife is angry that he refuses to buy her a new shetel, and then she'll go and she'll give a nedava of 20 nice carbonas that are worth 10 times the shetel, you know, and then he's going to have to pay for those. We can't put him in that kind of position. You know, I mean, that's really applying a tourniquet to very sensitive places. So because of that, we're not going to do such a thing to him. Now, the Rush says, even though Lamaisa, he would, in those circumstances, be able to be made for those Nadarim. Because if she's making those Nadarim to actually be Machai of him, so then they became Dvarim Shebein Olavina, they're going to mess up his marriage. And he really would be able to be made for them. However, we don't give her that Kayach in the first place. Remember, because we spoke about earlier in the Gemara, when we were talking about making a Shliach or an Apotropos, and we always spoke about the question about whether maybe a person will forget to be Mefer, he won't realize it only has 10 minutes left in the day, and that, you know, he thought it was before Shkia. I mean, there's like lots of reasons. Shema, I'll be Torud, and I won't do it. So therefore, we will, L'chatchila, in making the understanding between them a part of the Ksuva, as we're going to see that this is what Rabbi Yehuda holds, that it's part of the Ksuva, it will include only korbanos that she is really chayevet because of something that happened. Either she did an Avera, or she was a Nizira. Well, why isn't the Nizira up to her? It is up to her. But she's certainly not going to make herself a Nizira because her husband didn't buy her a new shetel. I mean, that's like going a little bit too far in terms of her own pain that's involved. So we don't have to worry about the Nizira. But if other Nadarim were of that type, that there would be a control on her behavior, then we would have said that he's Mukhoyev to bring those Karbanas. So the Nizirut is included in the concept of the Chiyav, despite the fact that she brought it upon herself. That's okay. And the reason for this is Shekach Katavlo, because what he wrote in the Ksuva was, Kol achrayut de'itlech alai min kodmadina, that I am accepting on myself all of the mechuyavut that you have towards things that I promise to take care of. Now, that is a very strange language, because what does that mean? He certainly is not covering the loans that she took out before she got married or anything like that. The whole idea over here is that we take for granted that it's nechale to the Baal to have a woman that is mechuperet mikolavon, and not that she has chiyuvim on her klape shamayim, and that she's never going to be able to fulfill. So that we understand, but language that doesn't spell that out is really very, very strange to say that way. All that which I have agreed, what is it? What do you mean, all that I've agreed? What, you had me kadma dana before we even got married? Well, tell me what that is. So the Girsa, remember, we have discussed this issue in many other places. And one of the important elements is that Rashi's, not Rashi here, but real Rashi's Girsa in other places is Shekin Kotevet Lo. What she writes him is, quote, Kol achrayuti itli alach min kodma dina. Anything that I have a lien on you, that you were responsible for up until this divorce, it's a completely different thing. And that we're reverse engineering that statement. That's what it's referring to. So that when she gets divorced, she has to write a Kabbalah, a receipt for the ketuvah that he pays. And in that receipt, she also adds in, like an insurance thing where you sign off the insurance, that I hold you free and clear from any responsibilities that you owed, that I had liens against you on for issues that took place before our wedding. Oh, wow. So what might that be? So then we're thinking, okay, so what would be she would be referring to? She would be referring to specifically this issue, that according to Reb Yudah, that he was mitchayev to take care of her karbonas. But you can see why that's a perfectly reasonable language for a receipt that relinquishes any demands. I hold you free and clear of any liens that I had on you for any issues that took place earlier before our wedding or afterwards, right? That makes sense. I don't have to spell it out because I'm just telling you, I hold you free and clear. To the gears that we have, that this is the language of the Ksuva is really strange. I mean, you can't, what do you mean? And I accept by myself all the responsibilities for the things before. What? It doesn't say anything. So that's why the Girsa that many of the Rishonim have is actually different than the way that we spell it out over here. But the intent anyway is clear. And Reb Yudah says, look, I mean, the idea that we have a right to look at the language of either the receipt of the payment of the Ksuva or the Ksuva itself, that's a concept that we've seen before, that we're able to be Doresh that language, and that in that language it's clear, says Reb Yudah, that he was actually Meshabed himself for things from before, which means that we understand that to mean the Korbonas that she was Mechuyevet to bring, even though she had made those Chiyuvim before. She had been B'chal Shabbos before the wedding, whatever it is. So though she's going to bring that Chatas, or she was a Zava, she's going to bring the Korbonas of the he's going to pay for those Korbonas of the Zava, etc. So that is the way that Rav Chisda assumes must be that we're going according to Rabbanan, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, she would have access, because of that lien, she would have had access to his karbonas, to his behemoths, to pay for her karbonas. So if she had set aside those behemoths, so then it should be exactly the same as if she had set it aside from her own money, because he owes her that money, right? Says Rava, absolutely not. Absolutely not. If he has been mishabed himself, what do you think that means? That means that he gives her a safe deposit box with these animals in it. She can go and take the animals whenever she wants. He's only mechayev himself to provide the animals that are necessary. If the animals are not necessary because he himself is the one that was Mayfair, so then why would he provide the animals? It doesn't make any sense. The provision is provisional. And therefore, in having given her that she'ibud, the very fact that it was made for the neder, I mean, she had no right to take that animal now in the first place. That's all. So afilu tamer Reb Yudah, why can't it work out perfectly well? I'll leave it to Reb Yudah, says Rava. Because kimisha abed la b'milta tzrichala, even though he agreed to provide, it's only provisional on her needing it. But milta de lo tzricha, in the end, anything that turns out not to be necessary, how is that included in the commitment? So there, lo. Therefore, according to Rava, once he goes ahead and he's made for her Naziris and she doesn't need it, so then that means she never had the right to those animals to make them Kodesh. And therefore, it's Teitzei V'tireh B'Eder, exactly as the Tanya of our Mishnah is saying. Anyway, this is one approach to the discussion of Rav Chisda and Rava about our understanding of the Machlokes to Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda as to what the rights of a wife are to the behemoths that she wants to bring for various issues that she's Mechuyevet in. There's also an Ikedi Amre that has a different set of assumptions by Rav Chisda and Rava. And here we're gonna make the initial understanding, the way we ended up with our first understanding after analyzing it, that they're not hers just because there was a shibud and they have to actually be needed. So if we start with that assumption. So then, Ikini Amri, we have this other way of learning it, and that is, the Gemara asks initially Mantana. So who is the one who holds that there's this difference between the behemoths that are his and the behemoths that are hers? Rav Chisda. So in this version, Rav Chisda says it's Dafka Reb Yehuda, because he is the one that says that the husband is Mechuyev because of her Ksuva. And that shibud is only for things that she actually needs. But according to the Rabbanan, the Mishnah makes no sense at all. Because according to the Rabbanan, in this version, according to the Rabbanan, there is no chiyuv whatsoever for him to provide her with any karbanas. And therefore, what is the Mishnah saying? If it were his? What do you mean if it were his? How did she get hold of his animals? How was she mekadesh at his animals? So lo mishabe laklal. So according to that, what would be the only case that he had actually made it possible for her to make a kedusha on his animals that he gave it to her for that purpose, right? Because he isn't meshubah to her automatically. So what would be talking about? Kigon da akne ale. And so if he gave it to her, so then it's hers. Kigon da akne ale, havi de nafshe. Now, by the way, it cannot mean, as the Rush points out, that he gave her the rights to use these animals for her naziras. Because then that would be a kiyum of her naziras. That's even better than me too, right? That I'm going to give you the animals to actually bring the korbanos for your naziras. Obviously, I approve of your naziras. Because I should say, what are you, crazy? I'm made for your naziras, and don't you dare bring any animals. So it must be talking about kagun da aknele in a very general way. How, Hanibanji, if you need any animals for any korbanos that you're chayev, why don't you just go right ahead and take them? Okay, but then that would be hers if he's giving her that right. And therefore, it wouldn't work out according to Rabbanon, because we cannot have a case according to Rabbanon where we would say, yes, she did have a right, but she only had a right on the assumption that she actually ends up needing it. And in this version, Rava says exactly the opposite that he said before, that no, on the contrary, you could have this work out afilo tamei Rabbanon, and you could say the same thing that I said before, that even if according to the Rabbanon, he gives her that specific right, he tells her, you're welcome to my animals, it's still understood, is it not? You're welcome to my animals for carbonas that are necessary, not you're welcome to my animals because you think carbonas are necessary. And when he was made for that naziras, so then obviously that undoes the provisional provision. And therefore, ki maknala nami bimilta de tzrichala, but milta lo tzrichala lo maknala. So we have this slight difference between the application of those svaras that begin because of a different set of assumptions as to what the level of the shibud is of the husband to the wife. Then the Mishnah said, but if she herself owned these animals, im shalaita behemta, so then we went through the chatat, as a chatas amesa, the ayla could be brought as a nedava, the shlomim could be brought a nedava, and so on and so forth. But how would a woman have her own korbanos? How would she have her own behemoths? He, minala. Didn't we say, mashikanta isha kana ba'ala? I mean, isn't that the standard that we says the husband provides for her? And he, not that he really owns, remember, it doesn't mean chas v'chalila, a husband steals his wife's money. But the idea over here is that we utilize that money for investments that he has a right to pay herself, right? So then she would be unable to get rid of it because then he's going to be losing his payout. That's all that it means. Obviously, in the event of divorce, she takes it back. Furthermore, remember that it's always possible for her to opt out of that arrangement. So it's not really such, it's just that's not the norm. The norm is a woman allows her husband to take care of her. But, she's not mechuyevet to accept that kind of relationship. It's all part of our discussion in the Ksuvis about whether, under what circumstances, a woman can opt out of the takonas that are for her benefit. But in any event, standard conditions. So where would she have it? Well, Rav Papa says, look, I mean, remember that she gets an allowance, right? I mean, she has money that is set aside for her because of the Chiyuv D'oraisa, of Sheirak Sutava Onata. So he has set aside money for those purposes. And so suppose she goes on a diet, you know. So if she didn't join Weight Watchers, which costs more than the food that she would normally be having, so then she saved a lot of money going on the diet. So now if she wants to use that money to buy a carbon for her Naziris, you know, I mean, why not? So she could be Kamatsata Mi'isata. She could be very, very careful about how much she eats and use the leftover cash for, that's why we call cash dough, because obviously the only way the woman gets the dough is by being mekametz from the dough. So because of that, she's got dough, which now becomes the metaphorical cash. Remember, hafochba vafochba de kulaba. Did you always wonder, why do we call cash dough? Now you know. Ibai seima, but there are other ways that it's possible for a woman to have something that's her own, and certainly somebody gave her with a tenai. Somebody gives her the money, and akdi la'acher, he gives her money, or he gives her the behemoth, depending on the case of the Mishnah, and he said to her, I'm giving you this, amanat she'en l'ba'alech reshut ben, and therefore she set them aside. Fine. Again, these are not our fundamental issues, just bringing up to remind you the sugyas from elsewhere. So then we said that the korban eila, if it was her own, is brought as a nidava, tikrav ola, for her, not for kaitzam izbeach, because we're talking about not motzer, but rather it was her own animals. Hashlamim are brought as a nidava, but we don't bring lechem. Amalei Shmuel, l'avu abar ihi, fascinating kind of bechina that Shmuel gave to Avu Abar I, and he said, okay, I don't want you to sit down until you give me straight out an answer to this question. I'm asking you, what, we don't, it doesn't say what he asked. It's a little bit strange, but he clearly, based on the answer, he asked him, give me the four cases where we bring an El Nazir without Lechem. That was the trick question. Okay, so Rabbi Avu answers him, okay, Elein Arba Elim She'ena Te'unim Lechem. And just to put it very quickly, it's Shalom, it's Shalah, it's Shalachar Misa, and it's Shalachar Kapar. Now, I'll explain them all to you so that you could see I know what I'm talking about. Okay, so what was he referring to? Shelah, okay, Shelah, that's the case that we just spoke about, where she brought her own karbanas, and then her husband was mefer. So now halacha was over there, that specifically, exactly this din, ena tu'uni lechem, so that we bring the karban of the El Nazir as a shlamim, but there's no din of lechem with that shlamim. That's Shelah. What is the case of Shelah? Ah, now Shelah is a mission that we haven't gotten to yet, which is a fascinating halacha. We'll see later on, it's a machlok, it's not clear whether it's a halacha l'beishim Sinai, or it's a halacha mitam chinuch, that a person can be madir his child to be a nazir. And a woman does not have that ability to be madir at the a nazir, either because of the differences in the chiyuv of chinuch, or Talmud Torah, or because that's part of halacha l'beishim Sinai. And in that case, we have a fascinating sub-halacha, namely, that in the event that anybody protests either verbally or through action, that is part of the family, that has including the child himself, that then the Naziris is batal. So therefore, in the case where, let's say, the son gets a haircut, or his auntie is furious at what this nut is her brother-in-law is doing to her child and growing this nutty hair. She wants him to look normal, and she takes him to the barbershop, and she gets him a nice haircut. Or even if the kid said, but I don't want to be a nazir, daddy, or auntie says, we don't want a nazir in our family. We got enough religious nuts. So in that case, the naziris becomes batal. So what happens if there was money already set aside, because in these dinim, we'll see that the father is b'chuyiv to bring the karbonis of the nazir, and they are shalom. So if he had set aside ma'ot stumim, so then they go the same way that all ma'ot stumim go when they're motar, and they go to kayetz hamizbeach. But if they were mefurashim, we have exactly the same halacha that we have in our mission that we spoke about when the woman had set aside, which was the shalah. And here in the Shalom, we have the equivalent case of Hafara. Fascinating thing. So in other words, the Hafara is where the husband undoes the Naziris, and over here, auntie undoes the Naziris. Or the little child undoes the Naziris himself. But in any event, what do we do with that money if we have Mefurashim? So again, the Dmei Chatas goes to the Amamelach. The Dmei Eila goes to an Eila that is brought, a personal Eila, not a public Eila, not a Kaitz HaMizbeach. And that is, therefore, Chayiv and Me'ila, it's Kachim Kachim, so there's Me'ila on it. And as far as the Shlomim is concerned, the Me'i Shlomim are brought as a Shlomim with a specific new halacha, that they're Ne'akolim Le'om Echad, and Ein Unto Uni Lechem. Pow, there you go. That is number two, said Avua. Number two. Now let me give you number three. Number three, a case of a El Nazir that is brought without lechem. That would be the case of achar mita. And that is a Mishnah that occurs in, not here, but it's a Mishnah in Me'ilah. And it says over there, therefore, it should probably say the Tanan, ha-mafrish ma'ot le-naziruto. So let's say someone sets aside for bringing Naziris and they're just ma'os satumim. And if they're ma'os satumim, then they could all possibly be for the shlomim, because the guy could say, you know what, I'm going to bring a really hefty shlomim, and I'll add money to bring my chatas and oilas. So when you set aside ma'os and Naziris, you cannot be ma'al, because what if it's a shlomim, and a shlomim is kachim kalim, and therefore there's no me'ilah until they became kachim Hashem, and kachim Hashem is miyukodim l'Hashem, which would only be after the zrikas adam. So because of that, obviously you're not allowed to be nene, because they are kodesh money, which is meant for korbanos, but you also would not be chayav a korban me'ilah. So lo mo'alim bam, because they're basically mipnei shem ru'im lavi bekulam shlomim. The entire cash pile could be used to bring a shlomim, which is kachim kalim, and there's no me'ilah on them. Now, suppose the guy dies. Now, here it says avu, here we're coming to the special case. If he died, leaving again ma'ot tumim, so then they would go to kayetz ha'mizbeach. If they're ma'ot mefurashim, the same halacha clicks in, and that is the dmei chatas goes to the Yam HaMelech. It's asur bano, but it's useless money, and therefore you're not ma'al on it. And dmei oila, you bring an oila as a nedava, a private nedava, and there is me'ila, and dmei shlamim, you bring a shlamim which is eaten for one day. And here is case number three, where ein unto unin lechem. So I've told you a third case. So we have the case in our Mishnah, where she had set aside, the case in the Mishnah later on, where a father had set aside for a son, where the equivalent of hafara takes place because of aunties yelling at him. And then we have this case where the person had been miyached this money for the Naziris and then died. And the fourth case would be la'achar kapara. And what would that be? That is pashet a svara. So the la'achar kapara, so what that would mean is that it got lost and he went ahead and he brought his karbanas from elsewhere. And then it was found. The original money was found. So the adin over there is, I don't have any markers as Avu, but I think it just adds up. Mitzad asvara, doesn't it? I mean, what's the reason that we say that the shlomim la'achar mita is brought without lecha? Shlachar mita maitama. Because the lechem is part of the whole seder of the kapara. You have to put on the kapot of the nazir, and you have to wave it, and so on. Okay, so that makes no sense. We're not going to go through a ritual that the Torah never prescribed where there is no kapara necessary, right? So if the guy's dead, so la'achar misa, he's not chazir the kapara. Fine, so then if l'maisa, the person was not dead, but he had brought his karbonas from money that he had to set aside afterwards, because he couldn't find the original money. So then when he finds it, it's exactly the same thing. It's lo chazir l'kapara. This cash is no longer needed for kapara, and therefore we're going to use it to buy a shlamim. So why would we go through the lechem? So therefore, I say it adds up. We got four cases. How'd I do? Okay, so says the Gemara, you didn't do very well. I didn't? No. But two lechem, there are no other cases? I'll tell you a very simple case. The Aika. Well, we've got a wonderful case. And this is a din that's mentioned in the Braita. Mishar kol shalmei nazir sheshachton shaloka mitzvatan. So let's say that somebody did a shalolishma, right? So he shechted the el nazir shalolishma. Maybe he shechted it l'shem eila. Or maybe he shechted it shaloka mitzvatan, because it wasn't in its second year of age, and it has to be already post Shana. Whatever. But there was some chisaron in the carbon. So remember that the halacha is when it comes to a shlomim, as opposed to a chatas, a machlokas we had about the asham, a libel rabbi Eliezer, but when it comes to a shlomim, the halacha is that if something is shechta shalol shman, it's kosher, but lo ala labalim l'shum chova. That's like the biggest klal that we have in Zvachim about the inyanim of the kashrus legabi shalol lishma, which we learn out from the pasuk that it's not according to your neder, but it is a nedava, neder nedava. So it's kosher, but you weren't yotze, you're chiyuv. Shalol alim l'shem lebalim l'shum chova. And look, avu, you missed this one. Ha ha ha. Ne'cholim le'om echad See, so you messed up. So the correct answer would have been actually five. And Avua disagrees vehemently. No. Wait a minute. That's a trick question. That Shmuel was asking, not where you did something wrong, but he was asking where the proper procedure would be that I need to bring this without lechem. And over here, it's because I messed up on the shchita and what it was that I was thinking or the species or whatever. I mean, that's not part of the question. Sorry. It was only kemitzvazim kachashiv. So what I was listing were the four, and that is correct. That was an exhaustive list of the four cases where you're doing exactly what you need to do correctly in such circumstances. And I was absolutely right. Shalom, the case of the son. Shalah, the case of the wife. The case of the setting aside money and then dying, which is liachar misa, or losing the money and being mischaper with something else and then refinding it, which is shenischaper ba'achar la'achar kapara.